Okay, last week we started our series. Last week and this week we'll finish it. On what time I am afraid. And David wrote that in Psalm 56. He said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. We said last time that fear is a natural human emotion. There's nothing wrong with fear. It's just that fear has to be tempered with faith. As long as you fear the Lord more than you fear your fear, you'll do the right thing. But if you start fearing your fear more than you fear the Lord, you're going to get into trouble. And last week we talked about Gideon. Gideon was an Israelite, and the Midianites were in the land, and they were robbing the land of all the crops, stealing everything. There were thousands and thousands of them, and Gideon was called by the Lord to deliver his people. And if you recall, Gideon said, who am I that I should let these people go? I'm the weakest person in my whole family, and my family is the weakest family in all Israel. And the Lord called him a mighty man. And the Lord said, I'll be with you. And we have to take that. And we're going to start tonight in Judges chapter 6, verse 14. Gideon has heard the call. It says, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, Lord, because Gideon looks at himself and says, Lord, I don't have any strength. I'm the weakest. Pardon me, Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. The Lord answered, I'll be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. The Lord gave Gideon a promise, I will be with you. And so our first thing, when we have fear in our hearts, is to remember that the Lord is with us. I mentioned before that when I was a little boy, we lived in Saginaw. And when I was about 3 or 4, I can remember walking down the streets in Saginaw in the evening. It was dark and the street lights were on and the tree leaves are moving back and forth in the breeze. And a little boy sees the shadows moving. There's ghosts and there's all kinds of terrible things out there. And I was really scared till I reached up and took my daddy's hand. And I wasn't scared anymore. Now, my daddy was not a big man. My daddy was 5'7", probably weighed 140, 150 pounds at that time. But to me, he could protect me. The Heavenly Father that we have is the strongest being ever. There's nobody to compare. And when we take his hand, we don't have to worry about a thing. Secondly, we can feel fear and obey the Lord anyhow. So Gideon's situation, Gideon says, I'm going to be with you, Gideon. And Gideon is still afraid. So he wants a sign. Now, I know today the Lord said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And I think that's true when you're seeking a sign and you're doubting the word of God. But when you doubt your own ability and you're seeking, Lord, show me for sure that you're going to be with me, because if you're with me, I can do anything. He just wants to be sure the Lord is with him. He said, I've seen the face of the Lord. When the Lord showed him the sign, he said, I've seen the face of the Lord. So I want you to look at Judges 6, verse 17. Gideon replied, if you are truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it's really the Lord speaking to me. Don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you. He answered, I'll stay here until you return. Gideon hurried home. He cooked a young goat, and with a basket full of flour, he baked some bread without yeast. Then carrying the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot, he brought them out to present them to the angel who was under the great tree. The angel of God said to him, place the meat and the unleavened bread on the rock and pour the broth over it. Gideon did as he was told. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the bread with the tip of the staff in his hand, and fire flamed up from the rock and consumed all he had brought, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized it was the angel of the Lord, he cried out, O sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. It's all right, the Lord replied. Do not be afraid. You will not die. We mentioned last time that every time in the Old Testament you see the words, the angel of the Lord, that's a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Gideon knew that he had seen God face to face. He thought he was going to die, but he didn't die. Because again, the angel of the Lord had a body, pre-incarnate body, but he had a body. Gideon did not see God in all of his glory, because no human living person can see God in all of his glory and live. In Judges 6:25, and Gideon, whoops, have you got 25 there, Dave? Oh, did I? Okay. Anyhow, that night the Lord said to Gideon, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one that's 7 years old, pull down your father's altar to Baal, and cut down the Asherah pole standing beside it. Then build an altar to the Lord your God here on this hilltop sanctuary, laying the stones carefully. Sacrifice the bull as a burnt offering on the altar using the fuel of wood of the Asherah pole you cut down. The Lord is asking Gideon to do quite a thing. It says, so Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord had commanded. But he did it at night because he was afraid of the other members of his father's household and the people of the town. It says he was afraid. I want to tell you, there's nothing wrong with being afraid. When the Lord calls you to something, fear is normally a part of it because he's asking you to do something that you wouldn't normally do on your own. So fear is not the problem. The problem for Gideon is it's not just anybody's altar. It's his own father's altar. It's what his father worships. And I'm sure Gideon thought, Lord, couldn't we do somebody else's? Not my dad's. It's his Asherah pole you're asking me to tear down. God told him to do it. Gideon's afraid. He said, they're going to kill me if I do it in the daylight. So I'll do it at night. And you can say, Gideon, how could you doubt? I want to tell you, we all have our doubts. But Gideon took a baby step. He did what he felt he could do. He did obey the Lord. He did it at night, but he did obey the Lord. Fear is okay as long as your faith is greater than your fear. Once Gideon knew that it was the angel of the Lord that appeared to him, God himself, Gideon was ready to go, even though he still had fear. He didn't have a spirit of fear, but he did have fear. And I want to talk just for a minute the difference between having fear in your heart and a spirit of fear. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, of love, and self-discipline. Again, nothing wrong with fear. When the Lord asks you to do something that's out of your comfort zone, you're going to have some fear. But once you know that the Lord has promised to be with you and that it's him telling you, the fear goes away, replaced by faith. We don't live in that spirit of fear. We have the fear, but we get it under control and we move forward. So a lot of people say, when I'm not afraid, once the Lord gives me a perfectly calm heart, then I'll obey. Do you know when you're going to obey? You're never going to obey. Because there's always going to be that fear, that doubt. What has to happen is you have to say, the Lord told me to do it. The Lord has given me a promise. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. And I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to do what to me seems like it's impossible because God has called me to the task. God wants us to have fear, but he wants us to overcome our fear. The problem we have is we face an enemy that's very scary. The Bible says Satan comes as a roaring lion. Now you think about a big lion standing about that high at the shoulders, all muscle, great big teeth with a great big growl. We're going to be scared. It's a huge enemy we have. So this fear is just a normal thing. But if God's behind you and God's for you, all the strength that he has, we can overcome the lions. We can overcome the people that are smarter than we are and wiser than we are, because we're more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Fear can be contagious. Remember the children of Israel when they sent out the 12 spies and 10 came back and said, we can't do it? They robbed an entire generation of the blessing of going into the promised land. Be careful with your fears. Everybody has them. I don't care who it is. Even the Apostle Paul had fear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul said, I came to you in weakness, timid, and trembling. Think of that. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest evangelists that ever lived, Paul had fear. And it's okay. I would have fear too if I knew they were going to whip me. If I knew they were going to throw me to the lions or something like that, you bet you're going to have some fear. So David said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. So don't think you're never going to be afraid. He didn't say, if I'm afraid. He said, when I'm afraid. Sometimes we have great courage in the Lord and we can step out. Other times, not so much. David stepped out against Goliath, a 6'9" giant who probably weighed close to 500 pounds. The giant tried to intimidate him as Satan does as a roaring lion. He saw David as a ruddy little boy. He's probably 16, 17, 18. He's just a kid. He comes out with a stick, a staff, and a little sling. And Goliath laughs at him. Come over here, sonny, and I'll feed you to the birds. What was David's response? David said, Goliath, I'm coming against you. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin. I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord. He says, I'm not only going to cut off your head, but I'm going to feed the whole Philistine army to the birds. And he did. David had some fear, no doubt about it. He tried on Saul's armor, but it didn't work. He went back to what he knew. With what he already had, the sling and the five stones and the staff, he was able to kill a bear and a lion. He had put them to the test. Go with what you have. And with God with you, you don't need more. Remember when the Lord gave the three different men talents? He gave one 5 and one 2 and one 1. The one with the 5 talents, the Bible tells us, went out and invested it and got 5 more. The one with the 2 talents went out and invested his master's money and got 2 more. But the one that was given 1 talent, he had a misconception in his mind about who God was and what he was like. He said, when the Lord came back to check on him, he said, Lord, I hid your money. I know that you're a hard man, and you reap where you didn't sow. Who had given him the talent? It was God. The master gave him the talent. He didn't come up with it himself. So he had sown into him. The man said, I hid it in the ground because I was afraid, because you're a hard man. Here you've got your talent back. He had fear. Do you suppose the guy with the 5 talents had fear when he invested his master's money? Anytime we invest any money that we have, whether it's for the Lord or for ourselves, there's always a chance you can lose it. But the Lord isn't worried about the losing of it. He's worried, or not worried, but he wants you to use it, to invest it, to increase it. He doesn't want us just to hide it away. The one with the 1 talent lost everything, and the one with the 5 gained even more. Folks, we need to be careful how we view our God. Do you view God as a hard man who reaps where he never sowed? Or do you view God as somebody that blesses you with natural talents, spiritual and physical, through your physical birth, and he expects you to use those talents for his glory? And if you do, you're going to get a wonderful reward. The latter way is to view God, because he's given you every talent that you have, spiritual and physical, and he wants you to use it. He doesn't want you to be afraid. Some people are just sitting on their talents, afraid to use it at all, and so somebody with a talent for singing doesn't sing. Somebody with an ability to teach chooses not to teach. Somebody that could drive, we just got the church van. Somebody that could drive the church van just as easily as I could decides not to. Something could go wrong. I want to tell you, something could go wrong, couldn't it? One of the kids on that van could accuse the driver, whether it's me or somebody else, of any number of things, and boy, you're in trouble. Somebody could get hurt on the van. But we can't dwell in the fear. We have to invest time and talent and finances and everything else we have and use it now. Things can go wrong. Things do go wrong, but the Lord blesses it all. And so we keep going for the Lord. So the Lord tells Gideon, number one, test number one, I want you to tear down your father's idol. I want you to build an altar to me, and I want you to burn the altar. He's a little bit fearful, so he does it at night, but he did do it. The townspeople wanted to put Gideon to death. But his own father, whose own altar, whose own God he tore down, said, if Baal's a god, let Baal handle Gideon. Gideon got the nickname of Baal Fighter. That was his nickname after that. And so we stand up, we say we're going to do what God calls us to do, but the test that he had in chapter 6 is nothing like the test he's about to face in chapter 7. If you're faithful in little, God will make you what? Ruler over much. When you pass the small test and you have the courage to step up for God, that's not the last test you're going to get, because there's going to be another test, a bigger challenge. In chapter 7, Gideon is told to go against the Midianite army of 135,000 troops with an army of 30,000. Gideon says, that's pretty bad odds. That's not good. But as he gets to the point, he finds out that he's not going to have 30,000 troops. The Lord's going to cut it down. In one day, the Lord took Gideon's army of 30,000, cut it down by 12,000, and then he cut it again down to 300. I want to give you the odds that Gideon faced. Let me see if I can find it here in my notes. Got it someplace here. Where did he go? All right. No, I got it. I don't see it, but I know I got it someplace here. Hold on one second while I find it, because it's important to see. But I don't think I'm going to find it. Anyhow, going on. Some of you remember the name Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow was a football player. In his sophomore year of college, he won the Heisman Trophy. Tim Tebow's mother, Pam Tebow, was told when she was carrying Tim Tebow as a baby, a mother in waiting, that Tim had something wrong with him, and the doctors advised her to get an abortion. Pam Tebow knew the Lord and did not want to get an abortion. So she had little Timmy. There was nothing wrong with him. And one day they were interviewed after he had won the Heisman. Pam and Tim were both interviewed, and in the interview, the man asked Pam about that time when she had they wanted her to have the abortion, and Pam said, I wanted to trust the Lord. I did not want to kill my baby. And right after that, as soon as that interview got on the radio, they began to call Pam Tebow. It was people that wanted her to come and speak to their church groups about abortion and why they shouldn't and how sometimes the doctors are wrong. And Pam Tebow is a very quiet, self-woman. She doesn't like the public displays. She didn't like to get up in front of people. But the interview or the asking to come and speak to groups began to come in. And Pam Tebow said, Lord, if you'll help me, I will speak for you. And she did. And she did a wonderful job. Sometimes the Lord's going to ask you to go out of your comfort zone. When he does, you can choose to trust the Lord or you can trust your fear. It's your choice. One of the areas so many Christians have such trouble with, and it's one of the early tests we get, is in giving to the Lord. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. If you believe this is true, if you believe this is Scripture and it's true, then your faith is going to outcome your fear. If you don't believe it's true, your fear is going to outcome your faith. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly in response to pressure, for God loves the person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you'll always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he'll provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you'll be enriched in every way, so you can always be generous, and when we take your gifts to those who need them, they'll thank God. Folks, when it comes to giving, all through the Old Testament, the Lord said, give a tenth. When I and Mimi got saved, Pastor Williams instructed us in that. He said that if you'll give, the Lord has promised to give back more than you give. And so we checked our finances. There was no way. We owed more than I was making. The bills were more than we could possibly pay already. And there was no way to give a tenth. But we prayed about it. Pastor Williams read us out of Malachi that the Lord said he would open the gates of heaven and pour out a blessing. And so we started. And the Lord has provided all these years. And it's just a wonderful thing. I would just tell you, if you're afraid to give a tithe, give what you can give freely and see what the Lord does. We found out the more you give, the more he gives back. Now, I'm not saying you give $100, he's going to give you two. I'm not saying that. I'm saying maybe you give $50 and the Lord might save your son or daughter. I don't know how he's going to bless you, but I know he's going to bless you more than you could possibly give. And we never went short on a bill. It works. That's all I can tell you. So trust God. Encouragement number three, we can trust God to patiently and lovingly reassure us. If God is calling you to do something for him, he'll do the same thing for you that he did for Gideon. He'll increase your faith. He'll show you what you need to see to do it. In Judges 6, verse 16, the Lord said to him, I will be with you and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Gideon replied, if you're truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it's really the Lord speaking to me. God did. God gave him a sign that it was truly him. Bring me some food. And Gideon brings him the food. And when the angel touched the food, the fire came down from heaven, consumed the food, consumed the broth, consumed everything. And Gideon got strengthened in his faith. In Judges 6, verse 36, then Gideon said to God, if you're truly going to use me to rescue Israel as you promised, prove it to me in this way. I'll put a wool fleece on the threshing floor tonight. If the fleece is wet with dew in the morning, but the ground is dry, then I'll know that you're going to help me rescue Israel as you promised. And that's just what happened. When Gideon got up early the next morning, he squeezed the fleece and wrung out a whole bowl of water. And of course, the ground all around was dry. I'm not telling you to put the Lord to the test every single time he asks you to do something. But if you're scared, I believe he will give you a sign. It's important because he wants you to be a person of faith. If your faith is shaky, ask the Lord to help you with your faith, and he will. So here's Gideon. He's fearful. He needs a lot of reassurance, and Gideon is still fearful even after this test. So he asked the Lord to switch it around a little bit. He says, instead of the fleece getting wet the next test, I want the fleece dry and all around wet. Judges 6, verse 39. Then Gideon said to God, please don't be angry with me. We think sometimes we're going to make God angry if we ask him to show us. We just want to be sure it's him. Please don't be angry with me, but let me make one more request. Let me use the fleece for one more test. This time, let the fleece remain dry while the ground around is wet with dew. Sometimes we have to ask the Lord, please don't be upset with us because our faith is weak. He will be gentle with us. He will lead us a step at a time. There does come a point when your lack of faith is going to make him angry. When the 10 spies came back and God had already told them, I'm going to take you in, and they said, we can't, that makes God angry. If you ask him to show you something, I don't think that makes him nearly as angry. Here's where I was looking for earlier with the battle. When he first got there, he had 32,000 soldiers in his army to go against 135,000. He was outnumbered 4.2 to 1. That means for every Israelite soldier, there was 4 Midianite soldiers. The Lord said, you got way too many guys here, Gideon. And you think, wait a minute, it's 4 to 1. Come on, can't be too many. He said, you got way too many. He said, tell everybody that's afraid to go home. And you think, well, maybe 10 guys will go home. 20,000 men went home. They were afraid. Gideon wasn't the only one afraid. A lot of times when you move out by faith, there's a lot of people got a lot of fear. Now he's got 10,000 left. In fact, it was 22,000 that left. He's left with 10,000. Now the odds are 13.5 enemy to every single Israelite soldier, 13 to 1. God said, Gideon, guess what? You still got too many. God said, put him to the test. Take him down to the stream. The one who picks up the water in his hand and licks it like a dog would lick out of a bowl, those are the ones I want. The ones that dip their face right in the water and slurp it in, those are the ones I don't want. So there's 10,000 men at the stream. 9,700 drink it face in the water. 300 lap like a dog. So now you got 300 men left. The odds are now, 450 to 1. Imagine going into a battle of 450 men on the opposing army and you got one for every 450. What are your odds? Do you know why God does that? So that he gets the glory. Many of the things the Lord will call you to in life, there's no way it can work. It can't work. Except for one thing. Nothing's impossible with God. When you have 300 to 135,000, 450 to 1, God gets the glory. So in Judges chapter 7, verse 9, that night the Lord said, get up, go down to the Midianite camp, for I've given you victory over them. But if you're afraid, you see, God still knows Gideon's heart. Gideon's still afraid. He's just had three direct answers to a test, but he's still afraid. If you're afraid, go down to the camp with your servant Pura. Listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you'll be greatly encouraged. Then you'll be eager to attack. So Gideon took Pura, went down to the edge of the enemy camp. The armies of Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east had settled in the valley like a swarm of locusts. Their camels were like grains of sand on the seashore, too many to count. Gideon crept up just as a man was telling his companion about a dream. The man said, I had this dream, and in my dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat. His companion answered, your dream can mean only one thing. God has given Gideon, the son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over Midian and all its armies. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship before the Lord. Then he returned to the Israelite camp and shouted, get up, for the Lord has given you victory over the Midianite hordes. Is Gideon afraid anymore? He's not afraid one bit. He really believes that God has told them to go. And Gideon went with the army that he had. He divided his 300 men into three different groups. Each one had a torch inside of a pitcher and a trumpet. All they did was blew the trumpet, broke the pitcher so the torch could shine out in the night, and they shouted the sword of the Lord in Gideon. The Midianite army began to kill each other until they were all dead. It's an amazing thing what God can do. So let me say this as we're getting closer to closing now. If God is calling you to do something, it may seem almost impossible. I can remember like it was yesterday when God called me to become a pastor. Probably 35 years ago. I couldn't believe it because nobody in my family ever had been. I had no interest in being a pastor whatsoever. It was the furthest thing from my mind, and it certainly brought some fear. When I told a few people about it, I didn't get a whole lot of support in it. Nobody thought I could do it. My older brothers thought I was crazy. Mimi's dad thought I was out of my mind. It wasn't much support, and there was a lot of fear. But I decided then, I think about 50 then, I decided, how am I going to feel when I'm older, like 75 or so, which is where I am now? I thought I'd be retired by then. What would I feel if I never tried to do what God had called me to do? I can't tell you how many men that I've met from that time to this time that have told me I felt called to be a pastor or a missionary, but I was afraid, and I never went. The things that God has accomplished through this little church, because this church was going to close. When I took this church, there were 8 people left, and they were going to vote. They told me, Norm Benson, they were meeting the last time that I preached here. They were going to have a meeting right after the church to vote to close. And so I told them, well, I've been preparing for the pastorate. I just got my degree. I had just finished in June, and I was called here in August. And I told them, you don't have to pay me anything. Well, you got 8 people. You don't have any money. I said, you don't have to pay me anything. And so the Lord started it coming back, and I've been here now. It'll be 28 years in August. And the Lord's blessed. And so all I can tell you is, step out in faith. When you take one baby step, you don't have to take on the whole thing at once. Take one baby step in God's direction and watch what he will do. Look at 1 Chronicles 16:9. Oops. Is that 1 Chronicles 16:9? I don't think that's the right verse. Let me look it up. I think it's the one where the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Let me find it here. Second. Maybe I'm thinking 2 Chronicles 16:9, I bet you. I'll bet you that's my problem. 2 Chronicles 16:9. Yep. Sorry, Dave. My fault. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Folks, when you make a full commitment to the Lord, Lord, I can't do it. There's nothing wrong with saying that, because guess what? That's the truth. I can't. But I believe that you can and you will. The Lord will show himself strong on your behalf, and you'll do things you never thought you could do. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depth of his understanding. He gives power to the weak. Do you feel weak? I sure do a lot of times. He'll give you the power you need, and he will strengthen the powerless. Even youths will be weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. What a shame it would be when life is almost over and you think back over your life at the times in your life when the Lord touched you and wanted you to attempt something for His glory. And you said, I'm too afraid. I can't do it. Folks, we can't. Jesus said, without me, you can do what? Nothing. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need to stop living in our own power and trust Christ and His power. If He's called you to do something, take the first baby step. You don't have to do it all at once. You get yourself ready for what God has called you to do, and He'll see you through. Father, our hearts rejoice that you do put calls on people. It isn't just a call to the pastorate. It isn't just a call to the mission field. It's a call for so many different areas of life, Lord. A call to be a godly daddy or a godly mother. Lord, many people won't take that call because they don't feel they can do it. Lord, anybody can do it that's strengthened by you. Maybe it's a call to teach a Sunday school class, to drive a bus route, to do any number of things, sing a solo, maybe take a Wednesday night message and preach. Father, whatever it is, give us that hope, that strength that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And Father, we'll give you the praise for all eternity for having called us, having equipped us, and having strengthened us in life. And Lord, we'll give it in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen.